hey you. It's Helen, and you're listening to Who You Needed, soothing optimism for creatives. Today's episode is titled The Failure Nacho, something crunchy good about perspective. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. So when you were 14 or 15, do you remember getting a bad grade in science class? I do. It was October, and I received 12 out of 100 in my ninth grade biology test. And I went into my dad's office with tears streaming down my face, and he told me to try again. Beyond my self-insult, I think he saw my eyes and my disappointment. And he said to me, "You're capable of more than you think. This is a learning opportunity. You do or you don't decide to get better." And this moment was a turning point for me for several reasons. Sometimes it's the patience that people exhibit for us that turn disappointing moments into events of deep introspection and pause. The truth is, I continued to fail academic tests and tests of life. I continued to succumb to insecurities. And it's also true that I refused to waste these failures. "Try and try again" were words that I could hear when I couldn't go another mile, or when the late night of college studying just overwhelmed my seemingly frail mind. This was a turning point for me. And do you ever have moments like that when the light comes on and everything isn't as hard as it once was? You know, paved along our stones, unturned and self-preoccupied minds is a scenic route, a journey filled with dark valleys, high hills, and mountains beyond. We all have a path to walk on, and mistakes are part of them. Sometimes we fall prey to forgetting where we came from and the journeys that made us. As we're so steeped in paperwork, projects, and notes for school, but thoughts of unbelievable discouragement ultimately propelled us to where we are. Now, the real impetus for this story began when I met my friend Bill. Bill is in his 80s. He drives this trolley that I take every Sunday, and I've never seen anyone leak joy and happiness as much as this man. His curly white hair is as bright as the sun, and it blows in different directions, especially on a windy day in Los Angeles. At some point, my curiosity got the best of me, and I asked Bill, "So what is with the joy that you have in you? Where does it come from?" And Bill started to tell me about his childhood, how sad it was, and how the process of really understanding his life gave him perspective to see how to have compassion on people and focus less on his faults, but more about what he could learn. He didn't have an agenda on life. He would tell me, "Man, Helen, I love people. I enjoy meeting them and just getting to know who they are and how they tick. Why do you think I drive a trolley? There's never been a more satisfying experience." Truly. As I got off the conversation with Bill, I started to ponder about how the concept of seeking first to understand related to our creative lives and the greater narrative of purpose. Bill didn't have an agenda, but he led with an intent to just know people, no conditions outside of that. I wonder if creativity works in the same way. I'm starting to see creativity as this force, a dynamic being that often comes when we're ready, when we don't coerce it or manipulate it in the way that we want, but we're open in reveling in the moment with it. You know, life is silly sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes it doesn't work out in the way that we want. And I think that's the beauty of creativity. You go in for a mission to create a piece of art, and you come in with an idea, and the process gets messy, it's sticky. It doesn't always go the way we planned, but it turns into this beautiful tapestry of mistakes and wonderment and process. And that's why we do it. We do it because it makes us come alive to the experiences and to the freshness of the moment and what we're creating. We're creating a new thing. And the easy decision to make is to just give up. It's not going the way we want. It's not progressing in the way that we're seeing. I'm not hitting my 5-year mark or my 1-year goal. But is that really why you started? Is that why the creative process is working for you? My guess is no. You started because it was fun, and the process of making mistakes and discovering makes the process that much more interesting. There's the beauty in the struggle. And I'll give you an example. The other day, I was at the park. I watched this mom teaching her daughter how to ride a bike. Watching the process was so interesting because she was just getting used to pedaling the bike, and mom was being very patient. There was the frustration of not really getting it. And finally, the mom asked daughter to just trust her, to just trust the process that she would get it eventually. And the daughter finally relented, and mom pushed the bike forward. And the daughter started pedaling and moving, and mom let go of the bike seat. And I watched as daughter kept pedaling, not knowing that mom was right there, watching her daughter just fly by. And daughter finally looks over and she goes, "Mommy, where are you? Where are you?" And mommy is saying, "I'm right here. I knew you could do it. I'm right here." That first experience of learning how to ride your bike is so exciting. It brings a smile to my face because I remember the first time my father taught me how to ride a bike. The process is so memorable because you remember the struggle. You remember who helped you along the way. And the process of just taking those training wheels off and doing it on your own. Reaching that triumphal first step is an accomplishment. Most people ever rarely get there. Congratulations. If you continue to listen to this message, you're probably one of those people that are obsessed with ever-growing feats and want to understand the middle of our process. How do you continue to enjoy the work when the grind of the game feels repetitive? To ask a better question, how do you continue to do the work when you feel like your progress has plateaued? Do we continue this journey towards focused improvement? I say yes, but with a twist. Continuing the path is important, and it's also equally as vital to see the long-term benefits of deliberate rest from the work. I bet you didn't see that coming. So many people live in this bubble of hyper-productivity, and with everything that's going on amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, I believe that the condition of our hearts is not to be thinking about productivity right now. Rather, I think that this amazing cultural moment has forced us to really look inside of ourselves and ask, what's really important? What can I do? How can I use the struggles that I faced to make a better tomorrow? You know, this last year has been staying home, trying to understand what life is like with this rampant disease plaguing the entire world and in the United States if you live in the US. And now we have small tidbits of hope sprinkled throughout our day where we get to go back to school or we get to see some of our coworkers or we get to witness life again. And beyond the questions that we've been asking throughout this episode, I believe that there's a silver lining of hope to act, to move beyond the questioning, the analysis paralysis that we've been discussing in the last few episodes, and to just do. More than anything, I hope this episode encourages you to see failure in a new way. I hope that it's reframed a lot of your mess ups. It's so easy as a creative to look at our work and to just judge it as plain as day, as good or bad. But there are mixes of celebration that can come out of goodness and failures because we can learn from them. Just like learning how to ride a bike, there's immense potential in learning how to ride that little piece of tapestry, those two wheels, because you can go somewhere. You can challenge yourself beyond your limits. And so, I hope this encourages you. I hope this moves you to act. and to be a better version of yourself than you were yesterday. And I thank you for your patience in sitting with me and spending your time with me today. My name is Helen, and this is Who You Needed. If you have any feedback for the show or would just like to say hi, send me an email, helen@whoyouneeded.com. Again, it's Helen, H-E-L-E-N, @whoyouneeded.com. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.